Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio to open His eternal Word and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we study from the Word of God today. We're turning our Bible to the book of James, chapter number 5, as we continue our study on the subject of prayer. The Bible said in James, chapter number 5, and verse number 16, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We've been looking at the subject of prayer for several days on the broadcast. I trust that it's been a blessing to you and a help to you in your prayer life as we've looked through the Word of God at this important subject. I want to just take some time today and give you some thoughts from this verse of Scripture and other Scriptures as the Holy Spirit directs us to do so. And then, the Lord willing, on the broadcast next week, I want to deal with a thought on why the devil hates the secret place. But for the broadcast today, I want you to look at this verse of Scripture, and we'll use it and use others as the Holy Spirit directs us. The Bible said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, there may be the question asked, "Preacher, why pray? Why should I pray? And why so much emphasis placed upon praying?" You know, it's a sad story, but oh so true. The average church member does not do much praying until he is in trouble or she's in trouble. And then when we get in trouble, we start praying and asking everyone else that we meet to pray about our problem, our trouble that we're in. But prayer ought to be a part of the daily life of every child of God. Now notice what the text said here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice the word fervent. And the word fervent has to do with boiling hot. The boiling hot prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want to just share three or four thoughts with you today that shows what prayer can do when God's people pray the effectual, fervent prayer that He speaks about here. Let me say to you, first of all, prayer changes situations. As I look in the Word of God here in this same chapter, we have referenced in verse number 17 and verse number 18 of Elijah praying. And you're familiar with that study in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18. But the Bible said in verse 17 here, "Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months." Verse 18, the Bible said, "And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." So we see here that Elijah's praying changed the situation of the famine. It brought on the famine, and then when the famine had run its course of 3.5 years, Elijah prayed again, and the rain came, and the famine was over. So prayer changes situations. I could talk about Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail in Acts chapter 16. And prayer changed that situation. I could talk about Peter shut up in prison in Acts chapter number 12. And the church made prayer unto God for Simon Peter. And God woke him up and took him out of prison. and out of town and turned him loose. Let me just address the situations that are there in your life today. I want to tell you, friend, prayer can change situations and circumstances in your life. God help us, and may I say it, God help you, to learn to pray over the situations that you're facing and that you're in today. Prayer changes situations. Prayer changes people. Sometimes it changes others. Sometimes it changes you. And I thought as I was looking at that thought, I remember the Philippian jailer. He is a bloodthirsty man. When he whips Paul and Silas and throws them back into the innermost prison and locks them in the stocks there. After Paul and Silas had prayed and the Philippian jailer was saved, then he comes and washes the stripes on their back and then feeds them a meal. Prayer changes situations. Prayer changes people. And now some of you will have a hard time understanding what I'm fixing to say, but this Bible does teach us that prayer changes God. The Bible teaches us back over in the book of Exodus, chapter number 32, how that God and Moses were having the problem with the nation of Israel. They had made the golden calf and was worshiping it. In fact, as you study through this context here, Moses gets mad and God restrains him. And then God gets angry and Moses intercedes with him. The Bible said in the book of Exodus chapter 32, verse number 14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Why? Moses prayed, and God's mind was changed about the judgment. We find a similar statement again over in the book of Jonah. When Jonah goes to Nineveh and preaches, the Bible said in verse number 10 of chapter 3, "And God saw their works, that they repented from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." So God can be touched and God can be changed when people pray. But then I want you to notice something else. Not only prayer changes situations, prayer changes people, prayer changes God. But as I said earlier, prayer can change you. And oftentimes that's what God does when we pray. God does not work on the other end to do what we ask him to, but instead he works in our heart and causes us to realize that he's God, he's on the throne, he's in control, and gives us grace to accept God's work and God's will in our life and go on and serve the Lord. So I'd say to you, the advantage of prayer, it avails much. Prayer changes. Then number two, I'd say to you, prayer cleanses. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy." And the Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins also of the whole world." So prayer changes, prayer cleanses, and then may I say prayer conquers. And so much could be said from the word of God on this thought. We find right here in our text from James chapter 5, verse 13 down to verse number 16, that prayer conquers diseases. As we pray, the prayer of faith will save the sick. And he's not talking about soul salvation. And he's not talking about some last rites as someone is dying. But my friend is simply saying that God gives answer to prayer. And prayer can conquer disease. And God can heal. He has done it. He still does it. No, I do not believe in divine healers. But I do believe in divine healing. God has power over all diseases, and he can conquer them, and God's people can conquer diseases when we pray. And then I read again in the book of Mark chapter 9, where when people pray, you can conquer devils through prayer. All the forces of evil rage against us. But as we pray, God said in verse number 29, the Bible said, and this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. As we pray, we can have power over disease, we can have power over devils, and we can have power over distance. The Lord is not only able to answer where we are, but he's able to answer our prayer as we pray here. He can answer that prayer anywhere around the world. Fact is, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 19, that if any two of you on earth shall agree, touching whatsoever they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. You remember the story in Matthew chapter number 8, verses 5 through verse number 13, of the centurion that went and sought the Lord that he would heal his son. And Jesus started to go, and he said, I'm not worthy that you go. You don't have to go. You speak the word, and my son will be healed. And Jesus told him, as you believe, it'll be done unto you. And he went his way, and his son was made whole from that self-same hour. Prayer can conquer diseases. Prayer can conquer devils. And prayer can conquer distance. And then let me say this as I close today. Not only prayer changes, prayer cleanses, prayer conquers, but prayer calms. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Don't be overfilled with care. Don't be fretful and anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer calms the wearied soul. That person that is loaded down with anxiety can come to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 said, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. How many times through the darkness of the night have saints of God wrestled with anxiety until finally they crawl out of their bed, or even laying on the bed, they get on their knees and they call upon God, and prayer calms the storm that's raging in their soul. And may I say to you today, whatever it is that's raging in your life, prayer is the answer. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.
I do not wait.